Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ron Harmon, the deep safety for the Pats. On a 3rd and 10 snap to Barkley. Drops back. There's pressure. He's hit. Ball high in the air. It'll be intercepted. Jamie Collins down the left side. Forced out of bounds. But the interception was forced by Kyle Van Noy, who hit Barkley. With the deflection to Collins with 1:27 to go here in the fourth.
Ugg slippers for this whole defense. Boy, did they will you to victory today.
All right, let's get into it. Felger Maz on a Monday following the Patriots 16-10 win yesterday in Buffalo. You heard it there on, from Zolak and Sosi here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, your home for the Patriots. Maz and Murray alongside from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. What'd you make of that one, Anthony?
Okay, so to me, I'll tell you one of my big takeaways, and it really doesn't have a whole hell of a lot to do with the Patriots. I think the Bills' defense is legit. I think it's legit. I'm a believer in that Buffalo defense. I thought they were really, really good. And I'm not telling you that the Patriots played well on offense or anything of the like, but I think that, I don't know, you look at it all and you weigh it all out and you go back over the couple of years, they give Brady trouble. They go in there, they're physical, they're tough. That play in the end zone on the interception I thought was a terrific defensive play. It was a bad throw, but it was a great defensive play on top of it. That defense is legit. And you know what? The Patriots defense is pretty damn good too. And so I don't know. I mean, you know, we used to kick the crap out of them for going into places where they couldn't score and losing. And that was always the knock, that when the Patriots don't get 20, they can't win. They can't win the rock fight. In the years where they didn't win Super Bowls, they didn't win the rock fights. Now they have a defense that can win the rock fight, and I'm going to bitch about it. Like, I just look at that and I say, no, that's a good sign. Again, I told you, I looked this up. Since 2010, okay, starting in 2010, and to me, I sort of draw a line there because I give Brady the year or two for the injury, and then Gronk came in 2010, okay? So starting in 2010, entering the weekend, the Patriots were 5-16 in 21 games when they scored fewer than 20 points. 5-16, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. In the last five games, they're 2-0. They beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, and they won this one. And so I think what you have now, I think to me this was
I'm sorry, not to do Felger and Maz math. You said in the last five games, they're 2-0?
Last five total games. In other words, going back to the Super Bowl last year.
Got it.
They've played two low-scoring games, right? They played two low-scoring games like that and won them both.
Yep.
And so I look at that and say, I think this weekend to me was evidence of how the identity of the team has shifted some. And there you go. Because, again, that Buffalo D, oh, they're good.
Yeah, they don't allow any big plays.
They're good. They're legit, Murray.
They keep everything in front of them. It's impressive. Now, their quarterback is as bad as there is in the league, but we'll get to him. But overall, the game played out almost the way I thought it was going to be. I didn't think the Patriots' offense was going to struggle as much as it did, and we'd see that many three and outs. But I predicted 19-10. I was off by 3 points. I thought it was an entertaining game. It was compelling, finally, for the first time this season. And I enjoyed it. Now, doing the post game with Beadle yesterday, I don't know how many Patriots fans actually did, because, oh, boy. Based on, I'd say, 80% of the calls we took, you'd feel like this team was 1-3 right now, and that Tom Brady is justified in being upset for missing Antonio Brown. They won the game. They won. What more do you want? You need it to be 325, three touchdowns for the greatest quarterback of all time? I'm a card-carrying Brady Bobo. But I was happy with yesterday, and you should be too.
Was it a good win?
Yeah, it was a great win.
I mean, so I will say yes, good win.
It was a good win.
Yeah, good win.
Good win.
And I think there's a lot going on. There are two different things to me going on as to why people aren't responding to it the right way. One, as Murray said, concerns the quarterback. And, you know, Brady doesn't throw for 303 touchdowns anymore. All of a sudden, it's what's wrong with the Patriots. And that speaks to the identity shift of the organization, and people are having trouble with that.
But didn't we talk about it last week?
Yes.
Didn't we spend a day? Are you ready to win a different way? Is everybody ready? Are you ready? Is the media ready? Are fans ready? Is Tom ready?
The other thing, too, I think it's the
Not ready.
Is Tom ready? Because Bill's ready.
Oh, for sure. But the perception of the Bills, though, is that they're like the Jets and the Dolphins, and they should blow this team out of the water, and it should have been a 30-point win. And I just don't think you've been really paying attention to how good that defense is. Maz is right. And it's not just this year. It's been pretty sustainable there for a little while.
And that's the other takeaway, is that people didn't respect the Bills. And again, I'm not telling you Buffalo's going anywhere. But that defense, oh, they're legit. Again, last year in the league, do you know they allowed the third fewest yards per play in the league? Like with Chicago and Baltimore, like statistically, they were right on the same level as those two teams, and I think everyone just missed it. It's, you know, the Bills' defense is legit.
Okay, so and I think a big part of this is, are you prepared to win games like this? Can you handle it? And maybe it's a little bit of an adjustment period out there among fans. Maybe it's an adjustment period for Brady. Because they're going to win more games like this than they have in the past. They're more equipped to win games like this. This is how they're built, whether they meant to be or not. You know, that's like a whole nother dispute or a whole nother debate. Did they intend this? Because I'm not sure if they did. I mean, they signed Antonio Brown. They drafted a receiver in the first round. They went after Cole Beasley. They went after Humphreys, right? So they tried to surround Brady. It just, for one reason or another, did not work out. So this is what they're left with, though. This is what they are, and they're going to win more games like this. Are you ready for it? Can you handle it? I thought that was a good win yesterday. Thought they were challenged, competitive, and they had to win in a different way, and they did. So, I wouldn't be complaining about it, but, you know, are they ready to do it? Let me play just a couple pieces of post-game sound. Some quarters of the team were happy. Some quarters sounded like they were a little pouty. Like, you know, this all does go back to, and it was at the top of everyone's lips, do they miss Antonio Brown? Did they need Antonio Brown in that game? Tom Brady was asked that very question. Did they need or do they need Antonio Brown? Jimmy, if you could, please.
I mean, that's those types of things aren't, you know, I just got to go out there and do the best job I can do, and I've been trying to do that for 20 years now. So that's what I'll try to do next week. That's what I tried to do this week. That's what I tried to do the week before. And hopefully we can go out and do a better job and score more points.
Okay, so again, with Brady, you got to sort of read tone. Those things, .. He wants to say those things aren't up to me. Because if he says that, then the easy implication is, if they were up to you, he'd be here.
Yeah.
And but the whole tone there is he's just sort of pouty, not very happy, little...
He was borderline morose in a win. I expect that kind of tone when they lose a game. That's expected. Again, they won the game yesterday, and we'll get to it. But the juxtaposition between him and Belichick... Well, Belichick actually, you know, sounded like he won the game.
So here's Belichick's opening statement. He was happy.
Great team effort by our guys. Really proud of our players.
Right there.
He's just up.
The whole tone. The whole tone. Brady started off his presser, and it didn't make the transcript or anything because it was sort of as he was walking to the podium. He says, who wants to talk about that thing of beauty? Or it was something like that.
Yeah. Very self-deprecating.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But it was like immediately the whole tone of, well, who wants to talk about that piece of crap? And I can't remember the word he used, but it was a sarcastic, and who wants to talk about that gem? It was something like that. But listen to Bill. Pants off.
Great team effort by our guys. Really proud of our players. They stepped up, showed a lot of mental and physical toughness in this game. Obviously, the Bills are a good football team. Played very well. Got a lot of great players. Well coached. Tough. But you know, our guys just stood up, made a few more plays, and really competed for 60 minutes. And we knew that's what it was going to take here. And they really responded to it. So... it's good to, good to get a division win on the road. And really happy for our team. Really, really proud of the way they competed here. This is a tough football game. Tough place to play.
Bill's more than happy to win that way.
I think he's right, though. And I also think that, you know, he relative to fans now, I think Belichick looked at that Buffalo defense, and he knew they were a little banged up on offense on top of it, maybe a lot banged up. And he said, we're going to have trouble scoring in this game. So we're going to have to get points in other ways, which they did. You know, we're going to have to avoid mistakes, particularly in the red zone, which they didn't. and then say, you know, I hope we can get out of there. And so I think that's some of it. I also think he's trying to change everybody's mindset, starting with the guy who plays behind the center.
Well, and for the guy who's playing behind the center, it would have been a blowout if he hadn't thrown that interception. That changed the whole game.
You knew that that was going to change the complexion of that game.
You're on your way to a blowout. You're on your way to your cover if you're worried about making your money.
Even if they got three there,
absolutely.
They buried the Bills in that fan base as loud as they were up until that point.
So that question, could they have used Antonio Brown? Feels like there's some differing opinions there. Ben Volen, Boston Globe. Headline, the Patriots sure could have used Antonio Brown. Right there in the headline, right there in your face. He writes, the Patriots needed someone to make a big play. And with Edelman playing hurt, they didn't really have anyone to step up. The Patriots only had two passes over 20 yards. If they only had Antonio Brown to attract coverage and open up the field. That's Ben Volen. Tom Curran wrote, the answer to the frequently asked question, why did the Patriots ever get involved with Antonio Brown to begin with? That question was delivered in the first half when Brady went 5-for-16 for 38 yards to his wideout collection of Julian Edelman, Josh Gordon, and Philip Dorsett. The position, the wide receiver position, writes Curran, as Brady pointed out earlier this week, is just not deep enough. Volen, Curran go straight to, they could have used Antonio Brown. This is why they have Antonio Brown. Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal. I feel like we have fault lines opening up in the Foxborough media. Greg Bedard.
Fault?
Hold on. Oh, fine, go ahead.
Fault lines in Foxborough.
No! Now the media is getting into it too. The big boys taking shots at Volen and Curran. We need love and unity. No!
Greg Bedard writes on Boston Sports Journal. Anybody throwing a temper tantrum about Brown or pointing out how the Patriots could have used him in this game is just being lazy, or purposely obtuse. Wow! That's a shot! Anyone who's saying they could have used Antonio Brown in this game or they miss Antonio Brown is just being lazy or purposely obtuse. Wow! Again, Bedard writes, he says, you know who else? And he points to the fact that Brady's had trouble with McDermott's defense up there for the last five games now. This isn't a one-game thing. He says, you know who else was a part of Brady's five-game personal skid against the Bills? A healthy Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman and Brandon Cooks and Danny Amendola and Chris Hogan, among others. It's like the Patriots have never had bad offense and still been successful. He says it's happened every year since this glorious run started. Bedard writes, Brown would not have made a difference in this game, which I disagree with.
Yeah, I disagree with that, too. He would have helped. Of course he would have helped.
But Greg's point is, because everything on offense was mostly bad, and it mostly had to do with Tom Brady. Bedard says, it's okay to say Brady wasn't good in a game and just leave it at that. There doesn't have to be a reason. You don't have to make an excuse for him and whine about his lack of weapons. So
he was seeing ghosts early. I texted you, Maz. He was like a jittery mess from the first whistle.
He was moving fast. He was moving fast.
Doesn't trust his line. Doesn't trust his receivers.
I mean, look, in the case of the line, I can't say I necessarily blame him. Okay, because I'd have reservations about that line, too. He's missing a lot of bodies up there. So that part I get a little bit. But, man, you know, he'd been around long. He'd be a little bit tougher than that mentally. Like, he looked skittish. Murray's right. In the early part of that game, he was sped up. He was sped up. No two ways about it.
So Volen, Curran say they missed Antonio Brown. This is why they got him in the first place. They could have used him in a game like that. Bedard says anybody throwing a temper tantrum about Brown or pointing out how the Patriots could have used him in this game is just being lazy or purposely obtuse.
I think that's a shot more at Volen.
So we have that debate. Could they have used Antonio Brown in this game? Your thoughts on yesterday and that specific question right after these words.
Fault lines in Foxborough.
Tom, no. Why are you so angry? You won the game. Please stop being mad at Mr. Kraft for taking away that piece of Antonio Brown.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub, and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
Brady takes the snap, backs up, starts to roll to his right. Brady throws to the back corner of the end zone, and that pass is intercepted. Picked off by Micah Hyde in the end zone as Brady, it seemed, was trying to throw it to Edelman in the deep right corner of the end zone, and what? Hyde comes up with the interception.
What the heck could he be looking at here?
He made a really good play, and I can't let that happen. So just be smart, and they do actually make a lot of those types of plays. This defense, they have some secondary players that intercept the ball, and you get a little careless and you think you got someone, and the windows close pretty quick, and Jules beat his guy and then he fell off and made a good play, and that was a bad play by me. So can't afford to give away points like that, and but our defense made up for it.
As Bedard said, what did Antonio Brown or the lack thereof have to do with that one? He says, I'm sorry, did the lack of Brown at receiver force Brady to throw the type of terrible end zone pick that we'd roast other dumb quarterbacks for throwing? Come on, says Bedard. Big boy got angry here.
He did.
Come on, that was a Mark Sanchez special, dressed up in a TB12 uniform. Just call a spade, he says. Brady just messed up. He may be the GOAT, but that doesn't mean he's infallible. Especially at 42, when he continues to show a declining lack of patience for standing in the pocket and taking a shot from a pass rusher. Say it with me, says Bedard. Brady was not good on Sunday against the Bills. It's okay. So, is that about Brady or is that about the lack of Antonio Brown?
No, more about Brady. Again, I think there was a lot of factors. They were banged up. So, like, I don't like the phrasing of the question, did they need Antonio Brown in this game? Like, I would say need? No. Would he have helped? Of course. But the part that irritates me, how come we don't say that about Gronk? They could have used Gronk in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, why are people dwelling in the fact that Antonio Brown's not here? He's gone. Forget it. It's over. It's done.
Their defense might be better than their offense for the first time in forever.
Oh, I think it is.
Can you deal? Can you handle it?
I think it is better than their offense. I don't. To me, there's not much of a gray area there.
Okay, we continue, or we go to your thoughts here. Steve and Dedham, why don't you lead us off, Steve?
Hey, I got a question. Felger, you said a couple weeks ago that once a team gets to, 0-3, the season's basically over. Now Denver's 0-4. Don't you think they should make a bid for Emmanuel Sanders? I heard that guy in a post game yesterday. He was so demoralized. He wants out of there, and I think he'd be perfect for the Patriots. What were you guys thinking?
He'd be a nice fit. He'd be a nice fit.
Get on the phone now. Offer a third. Even if that's too high, I know he's a little old. He's dealt with some injuries in recent years. He'd be a perfect fit. Get him on this team.
Is that their biggest need, receiver, or is it offensive line?
Offensive line.
Thank you, Murray. I still think it's offensive line.
Me too. I think his lack of...
That thing's a sieve.
Comfort in the pocket was a bigger issue than the receivers.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I would try to pick up... If you're going to try to address both... Tackle first, make a trade for Trent Williams, and then pick up Michael, and I'm throwing, I don't even, if anyone picked up Crabtree, but someone like Crabtree who hits the street.
So look.
See what you get out of it.
You're not going to hear me deny that they don't have some issues on offense. They do. But it's sort of hard to have a number one offense and a number one defense. Usually one is ahead of the other. So now your defense is going to be a little bit ahead of your offense. Can you handle it? Can we all handle it? As fans, media, can Tommy handle it?
Oh, so again, I don't think you're going to have a huge problem on this show. Like, you know, I just think people get sucked into the Brady phenomenon now. What is it really about? Is it about Tom or is it about the team?
And again, I'm usually Tom over team, like 99% of the time, but I still want to see him win another title. I want to see the seventh title. That's the most important thing. I don't need to see him have an MVP type of season and put up big numbers week to week.
And back to that end zone interception. It's 13-0 at the time. At least 16-0 should be, 23-0, and you're on your way to the blowout. You're on your way. And that interception, which had nothing to do with Antonio Brown, changed the entire tenor of the game.
I mean, brutal pick. And again, the Bills really should have tied the game after that, for crying out loud. They botched that whole sequence at the end of the half. They should have gotten three out of it. But in any case, so they get two field goals and a touchdown. Now the game's tied. So that pick was brutal. Absolutely freaking brutal.
Matthew in the car. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Matt. Am I on?
You're on, babe.
All right. I have a quick take. You guys spent a lot of the last week talking about, Maz in particular, about Tom Brady's ego and does he care about stats. I'm wondering, with all the speculation, if this is Tom Brady's last year. Say he wins the Super Bowl and he's closing in on Peyton Manning's all-time touchdown record. Don't you think he'd like to have Antonio Brown around to get to that? And maybe he would like to put some distance between him and Manning before the season's over? And perhaps not having Antonio Brown puts that plan in jeopardy a little bit.
Yes.
That might be factoring in.
Maybe.
I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. What is it? His last year? His walk year? Maybe it is those records. He's like high on the list with right next to a couple of guys, isn't he?
He's number two, I think, in touchdown passes. He just passed Breeze last week.
So he and Breeze are like neck and neck coming up on Manning.
Yeah, he's like 14, 15 touchdowns behind Manning.
Tom, do you really care? And should he? I would say no. It's a better story that Manning sets the records and you win the Super Bowls. That's the better story.
He can have both.
Well, but screw both. It's even better to say, yeah, Manning won the MVPs. Manning has all the records, but I have all the rings. Don't we like being in that spot? I prefer that spot, frankly. You go ahead. You know, A-Rod has all the wins and Jeter has all the rings. Like, you know, I don't know. I prefer being that guy. I prefer being the ring guy versus the number guy.
I mean, the other thing is you look at it and say, okay, so let's say he actually throws more touchdown passes than you. Has anybody said he's better?
Right, that's over.
Like, the Brady, you know, everybody calls him the GOAT. To the point of freaking nausea, but you know what I mean. It's like it's become this. You know, he is the best that ever played. Fact. End of discussion. Why does he need the record to go on top of it?
I'd be surprised if he was concerned about that. But it's fair bringing up. I just don't see it. John in Plymouth, what do you got for us? Jonathan, Jimmy, well, hi, John. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, sorry. It beeped. Listen, guys, I got to tell you, I had to keep checking the score to remind myself that the Patriots are actually winning the game. That Bills D was so alive, celebrating, getting the crowd going. I always want the Patriots to win, but let me tell you, there was so much fun to watch these guys.
You mean the Patriots defense?
Oh, no, the Bills D.
So, I mean, I'm just glad we got a game. And I'll give the Bills credit and McDermott credit. They have Brady's number. I don't know what they do exactly. They just clamp down man-to-man? I mean, is that what they do?
I think that's part of it. Yeah, look, they got good safety play, right? That linebacker they got, Edmonds, boy, he's athletic. He's a good player. And I just think they bottled him up. You know, the same thing I would say about the Patriots defense, I will say about the Bills yesterday. There wasn't a lot of space there, right? There wasn't, at least in the you know, within 15, 20 yards of the line of scrimmage. There wasn't a lot of space. They seem like they're disciplined. They're well-positioned. All the things that we have said about the Patriots defense this year, I think a lot of those apply to the Bills. There weren't a lot of gaps there for Brady to throw into. There were some, don't get me wrong, but there weren't a lot.
Jimmy Stewart, help me on line one, please. Dana in Warwick on line one joins us next. Hi, Dana.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
So, first of all, I don't care what the win looks like. It can be as fugly as all get out. A win is a win. You don't get points for style. So, a rock fight or an aerial assault and they bury a team, I don't care how they do it. We're looking for number seven. So, this came up on Zoe and Beatles' show today. I guess both Thielen and Diggs were unhappy at the end of their game yesterday. And they said, you know, let's get Diggs here. Personally, I think Thielen is better than Diggs. what is your opinion on trying to get one of those guys here after we get Trent Williams?
Okay, Dana, thanks for the call. Are you going to trade every first-round pick you have going into the future?
I mean, see, this is going to get a little crazy now because there's only so many moves you can make.
Thielen and Diggs, I'll take either. They're both excellent. Excellent.
Minnesota's 2-2, though.
They're not
going to sell off
all
their
parts. Do you
see
Kirk Cousins? They should.
Sell?
Yeah, Kirk Cousins is garbage.
Why not keep the good receivers and get a new quarterback?
Yeah, well, you'll need more picks going forward, so trade off some of
them.
So,
but look, the point is, they're in it. Denver's out of it. Like, I get it, but Minnesota's not going to cast off pieces for no good reason.
Okay, if you have a choice, you have one first-round pick. You can have Trent Williams, Thielen, or Diggs. Who do you want?
Trent Williams.
Trent Williams.
Okay, so what's the bigger need, offensive line or receiver? And I sort of concur on that, although I really like those receivers. I really do. I like both those guys. I love Manny Sanders, and he should be a little bit of a cheaper cost. And I'm for doing all that. It feels like they've been trying to trade that first-round pick for 6 months. They offered the Steelers it for Antonio Brown. They offered the Redskins that first-round pick for Trent Williams, so they're willing to give up that first-round pick. But the deeper you go into the year, I don't know what Thielen and Diggs' contract situation is. I don't know if they're up. But, you know, that deadline's at the end of October. Now you become a rental. You shouldn't have to give up a first-round pick.
No, you shouldn't. Exactly, right. You're looking at half a season then. So the price should come down. And, like, you know, Sanders, too. Sanders, I just looked it up, makes over $10 million this year. So that's some dough to take on, too. I guess that's going to factor in what you give up.
Okay, so that whole thing about, you know, winning on your worst day or winning ugly, I don't even know if that's what yesterday was. It wasn't a great day for the offense. Like, I get it. But I think that was a good win. Like, I don't consider that, I don't know, one of those where you come out of it and say, ooh, they're in trouble, ooh, they're teetering. It's just sort of the opposite. For me, anyway, it's like that was a tough game that they had to win in a certain way, and they won it. Like, I think they passed a test yesterday. I don't think they failed a test yesterday. So I don't know, but it does all go back. We're not used to them winning that way. That's a hard pill to swallow. I get it. And some things did go wrong. We'll pick up on that right after Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Steven Gostkowski on for the point after try from the left hash. The snap in place, swing of the right leg. The kick is lifted to the uprights, and the kick is no good. He missed it. Wide right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Steven Gostkowski.
This is
on point after touchdowns. 10 for 14.
I was just asking, how many was that on the... Well, 10 of 14.
Yeah. 4 weeks. Four misses.
He missed a field goal somewhere in there, too, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
So, I told you this. I'm now rooting for it. I don't want them to bring anyone in. I want to see how far Bill's willing to go, how far he's willing to take it of this guy continuing to miss, continuing to bring no one in to just wake him up or look at someone else kicking or get inside his head, whatever. Just keep this approach. I want Gostkowski to keep missing, and I want Belichick to keep not doing anything about it. I just want to see how far it goes.
And again, this one, he was lined up on the left hash on an extra point
and
missed
even
it
close.
Right. Like, do dude, aim for the hazard. Seriously, just aim for the hazard. It'll come back, I promise. He can't bring himself to do it. Like, play the slice. Holy crap.
But believe it or not, I don't want him cut. I don't. There's no one else out there. I mean, they're all gutless weenies at heart. And I now have a theory, because you mentioned this in the email exchange too, Matt. Like, he's missing him early, so maybe he's like an old piece of crap car. It's tough to get it going, but once it finally does, it's reliable and you can trust it. But early? Yeah, just I've now accepted the fact he's going to miss that extra point on that first touchdown. That's all.
I mean, really, 2 weeks in a row is the first kick.
So it happened again. He also had a couple shaky kickoffs, but were those intentional?
I don't know. But they didn't cover the returns as well.
They were worried about the returner there.
Well, that Buffalo. First return, he got up slow. That's why I was like, oh boy, what's going on here?
Who got up slow?
Guskowski.
He did. Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
So back to that hip thing that we keep hearing about or whatever Maybe. It is. So he had a couple bad kickoffs, but again, Bill, after the game, was talking about how good that returner is there in Buffalo, and so maybe that was intentional. I don't know. But it started to creep into your decision-making. You had a chance for a 53-yarder in the second quarter, but opted to go for it on 4th and 8.
Uh-huh.
This is a play you picked up because you got a PI flag against Dorsett. But you start going for it on 4th and 8 instead of kicking a 53-yarder, which I'm sorry, in the NFL on a good day on turf, is a kick you got to make. It's a kick you got to go for. It's a kick that's just you have to go. Yeah, that's a kick.
I mean, I was eager to see how Bill played that one, too, and I said he's going to go for it.
4th and 8, he goes for it on a beautiful day on AstroTurf. Ooh. So the kicker thing started to creep into your decision-making.
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah, and because what he's saying right there is I'm not giving these guys the ball the 43-yard line.
Okay, so other little nitpicks, guys who don't look good. Josh Gordon, you concerned with this guy?
Yeah.
A little bit.
The big. See, now, to me, like, when people say, you know, you missed Antonio Brown in this game. No. You missed Josh Gordon. You missed, and I say Gronk. This was a physical, tough game, and that's the one where you need the big, strong receivers to catch balls in traffic because you're not going to get a ton of separation. It's going to be a war for every freaking pass, every single one for the most part. That's where those big body, strong guys have to step up, and he didn't. He didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, they needed Gordon in a game like that.
And, Maz, you talked last week about, you know, he's not the same guy in terms of his burst and explosiveness. I almost feel like he labors, like he's still laboring. Remember last year where he, couldn't finish plays and looked winded and gassed? That crossing route yesterday, the one big play that he had, that this was the play the Bills challenged on an OPI and didn't get. But him going down the sidelines, it almost looked like he was limping down the sidelines, like laboring, lumbering is really more what it is.
Yeah.
So what, I mean, I would still look at him from 10,000 feet and say, this guy's not in shape. Well, how long am I going to look at him and say, the guy's not in shape?
Yeah, I don't think it's a conditioning thing. I think he's just slow.
I just think there's some.
I mean, I do. I think he's slow. I don't think he has it anymore in terms of that.
There's inconsistency with his play week to week. He was excellent in the Steelers game and then almost invisible against Miami. He was, I thought, the best player on the offense against the Jets and took an absolute beating. And then he disappeared again yesterday. And then, maybe I'm reading too much into it, but late last week, he told reporters in the locker room, like, I'm splitting. I'll talk to you Sunday. And he was supposed to be available yesterday. And he wasn't. So, for a guy who sounded clear-headed, sounded like a different Josh Gordon the first couple of weeks of the season, especially like that first week, I don't know. Like, given his history, it's just a teeny tiny red flag, I feel
And Mike, when I say slow, I mean, look, he's not like, you know, he's not a lineman. But, I mean, relative to, he's not the kind of guy that's going to just beat people down the field with speed. He's not like that.
So Brady was clearly trying to feed Gordon and Dorsett. Dorsett, you know, his that streak of catching everything thrown to him, that came to an abrupt halt. 9 targets, 2 catches. And a couple of them were on Brady. Like the first, I think there was a slant, backside slant on the first drive that Brady airmailed. He was there. Dorsett was open. And Brady didn't hit him. But that thing, Brady to Dorsett, that dried up, I should say, pretty quick. Only 2 of 9 going to Dorsett. I think he was only 3 of 7 going to Gordon. Dorsett doesn't concern me because if he's a number one, I don't consider like the number one option man beater guy. Like,
no, he's a third guy.
Yeah. And so if you don't have a 1 and a 2, like, I mean, I get it. I still like Philip Dorsett. I just think it felt like they were using him as a primary guy, which if that's the case, then, you know, he's not a primary guy. Gordon's more concerning to me. I was doing fan cred last night with Andy Hart, and he raised an interesting point. He said, Is it possible? And just spitballing, because just looking at Gordon, it still doesn't look quite right. I mean, I like Gordon. He's a good story. I'm behind him. Like, I'm still on that. But is it possible that he's medicated? You know, because he's had all these problems. And, of course, you know, I mean, it just could be part of his program that he's found some medication that has helped him out. But is a trade-off there if you're on some of those meds that...
You're a little sluggish.
Right. And is that...
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, if I were looking from 10,000 feet, it's kind of how it feels like he's...
Slow motion.
Yeah, flatline.
Yeah.
And, boy, on that crosser, did you see it too? I thought he was lumbering down the sidelines.
I mean, to me, there was the play they ran that reverse last week against the Jets, I thought, he can't get around the end. He can't get there. And it's not, you know, it wasn't like he got caught 6 yards in the backfield, but he got a 1 yard gain out of it. I don't see the burst. I don't see it.
How many targets did Jacoby Myers have in this game?
One, maybe?
One, I think, yeah.
Does anyone have the play sheet in front of him?
Yeah, I got it right here. I'll tell you right now. It was, I think
the number's zero.
No, you're right. It is zero.
Zero.
Zero. I thought it was
zero.
One. Zero.
Yo, you tell me he was never open, not once? Never not worth looking at once? I mean, so this whole thing of, you know, can you work with some of the other guys? And you want to tell me Jacoby Myers is behind? I get it. Rookie. He's not up to speed like some of the other guys. I get it. Is he worth a zero? Zero. How many snaps did he play? I mean, he was out there. I mean, saw him a little bit. But for crying out loud, Tom, can you work with some of the other guys? So I put that on Brady a little bit.
Only four.
He only played four snaps?
Yeah, it was only their four snaps.
Maybe I saw it more than he was out there on the Edelman interception. I just know that. So maybe I was just seeing things, but I don't know. Is Jacoby Myers, the way he played in the preseason, worth four snaps and zero targets?
No.
When on a day your offense can't do anything? Like,
no.
I don't understand why it's so hard to try and work in a new guy.
I mean, again, and when you weigh it all out, Brady was 18 for 39, right? You're going to throw that many incompletions. Tom Brady, 46% in the game.
Okay, so those are just little things here. I still think it was a good win. I still think it was a positive day for the Patriots. I think they passed the test, not failed the test. I think you should feel good about the team. Not bad about the team after that win. So we continue with your thoughts on it in our long commercial-free segment next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Allen takes a shotgun snap. Four-man rush. Slides up. Firing down the middle. That pass is intercepted by Devin McCourty. He's got another. Curling to the 35-40. 45-50. Devin McCourty is tackled at midfield with some extra pushing and shoving on the stop.
Horrible throw by Allen. McCourty's playing center field. Reads his eyes the whole way. It's cover two. He's trying to throw a post into cover two. Terrible job by Josh Allen.
Allen on a deep drop. sets up, pressured by Guy, throws down the right seam. J.C. Jackson picks it off at the 10-yard line. He runs it down the left side.
You had a back wide open on the left side, and this kid throws another moonshot up into double coverage. You should start looking in the draft right now for the next guy. Wow.
To Allen dropping back. There's a blitz. Off the back foot, he throws a long ball down the middle for John Brown. Incomplete. Lands in the end zone untouched with Stephon Gilmore covering.
This kid can't handle it, man. He's on a 20-yard drop, retreating 20 yards behind the line of scrimmage and just throwing it up for grabs down the middle. Check to something. They're in cover zero at the snap. They're showing you they're bringing the house. Check the slant. Check the fade.
And on third down, he takes the snap. Drops back. Blitzer's coming. Allen's in trouble. Allen goes down. Sacked by Kyle Van Noy.
Back him up. This kid has no internal clock whatsoever. Look at Brian Daboll. You won't even look at him.
Snap. Spot. Swing of the right leg. The kick lifted to the upright. The line drive by Hauschka is no good.
Yeah. Attaboy, Allen.
Allen takes the snap. Drops back. Dancing in the pocket.
Get it.
Dancing in the pocket. Starting to roll to his right. And he's brought down by John Simon.
What's he Simon doing? Stinks isn't the kind word, isn't a kind word enough to use. This kid has no awareness what down it is, where he is on the field, what coverage he's looking at, how much time's left on the clock.
That was Scott Zolak's feelings on Josh Allen. What were yours, Maz?
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful. Seriously. I mean, can it get any worse? I say this in all seriousness. For all the hyperbole and you spewing that we do on this show, and oh, do we do a lot. This guy has got to be one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. In terms of particularly for like a half-decent team, this guy makes Mitch Trubisky look like Joe Montana. I'm not kidding. He missed the target. How badly does he miss the target sometimes?
Well, how about just the little balls in the flat?
Oh, my God.
No, right in the dirt.
He's got guys wide open in the flat for four easy yards, just easy money drive starters. And is he dirting them or is he chucking them into the sidelines?
Both. He's missing them by 10 yards, 15 yards, like horrendous throws. Now, look, he's got a cannon for an arm, which is great.
No touch, though.
But it also has led him into bad habits. He constantly throws going backwards.
Oh, my God.
He does it all the time.
Running backwards. Running full retreat backwards.
Yeah, really. It was like the one thing that Fouts said all day that I agreed with.
Oh, my God. Someone needs to teach him to step up.
In fact, I was thinking this on the way in. I can't remember one time all day where he stepped up in the pocket and threw.
Oh, no, my God.
He's reckless. He's reckless when he throws it. It's a lot of hero balls that ultimately lead to interceptions. And then when he takes off, I got no sympathy for you when you get your head knocked in like that, because it's just, you know, get down, dummy. Like, slide.
We'll get to that hit coming up.
Yeah, but that's going to lead to injuries. And he's done this before anyway.
He does. He blows.
My God.
If they had a quarterback, they'd be dangerous because their defense is legit.
The quarterbacks in this division, other than you, is just frightening.
Okay, so again,
Darnold's got upside. I think he might be all right.
We'll see if that coach ruins him or not.
So for as
if
much
that
as,
team ruins him,
as yeah. much as I believe in the talent and the play of the Patriots defense, which has thus far been great, bottom three teams in the league in offensive passer rating and offense period. Miami 32, Buffalo 31, Pittsburgh 30. And the Jets are 28th. The only team you haven't played down there is the Browns, and they're getting better, it feels like, anyway. It's a train wreck, the quarterback play on those teams, and the offenses in general. Absolute freaking train wreck.
Does that lead you to wonder if the Pats D is a little overrated?
Well, how can you say it isn't? Just by the quality of the competition. And again, when I say overrated, I think they're good. I think they're real good. But right now, they're playing at like all-time best defense good.
But this Josh Allen, oh my God, just those little throws in the flat that he was nowhere close to in the first half. Just little dinky drive starters. He was nowhere close. Those deep balls where he's running backwards as he's throwing, full retreat, unbelievable. I mean, how many did he just float up there to be picked? Two in the first half. The one in the third quarter was a complete momentum killer. complete momentum killer. The Bills had gotten control of the game at that point. They just scored on their opening. That's the only time he looked decent, was on that first drive of the third quarter after he talked to Jim Kelly at halftime after the Fakaka wedding. All right, which they point out in the broadcast. And he had a good first drive of the third quarter, and then that next pick down the sideline in the third quarter, absolute killer. So between him and Barkley, four picks, five sacks, the one you heard there at the end of the second quarter to take him back in field goal range, and Hauschka misses from 49. That cost him 3 points.
I mean, what a bad decision that was. That was horrible.
Two fumbles. They were lucky to recover both, or else it would have been much different. Four batted balls. I mean,
and he's big.
Jesus.
Right? He's not Kyler Murray back there.
Tall.
He is. He's 6'5"? He's got to be 6'5". He's huge.
Allen and Barkley combined for a 32.4 quarterback rating. I mean,
I thought they were better when Barkley came in the game.
They were.
If I'm the Bills, I go with Barkley.
Holy smokes.
Barkley looks like he can at least have a little bit of a possession game.
But again, the Bills, so they, like this division. Now, somehow, again, Mike and Attleboro, or you people, like the baby Patriots fans, are going to tell me that it's the Patriots, the pressure of the Patriots' greatness forced them to draft Josh Allen. Or is it just a historic time where your greatness has coincided with a historic run of ineptitude at quarterback in your division? 20 straight years, and the gap's getting bigger, not closer. They're getting farther away. Buffalo, as you heard Zoe said, he's right. They have to go back into the quarterback lottery. And it feels like they got a lot else going on there. Like they're sort of building it in the right direction, but they have to start from scratch at the quarterback position.
I'm telling you, if they had a quarterback, I could see that team winning 11 games. If they had a quarterback and a coach, you know, someone that knew how to, it feels to me like their offense doesn't, you know, they're not doing a lot of work with the quarterback either.
Absolutely wretched.
Oh my God, horrendous.
Okay.
Like, I was watching going, oh my God, Murray was right about this guy. He really blows.
I promise, right to your thoughts after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials here. Then right to you.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.